From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Children under 5 years old began getting COVID vaccines in Alaska last week. In a health presentation to parents last night, state health officials stressed the importance of getting kids vaccinated and addressing common concerns. Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, said it's been a long time coming.
Some of you have had your children during this pandemic and have not had great ways to protect them from the worst of this disease. And even though we know that it does not impact children to the same degree as our elders, we know that our children are not immune from this virus.
The state reported a 26% increase in cases this week compared to the previous week. Case numbers among young children have been lower than older groups, but pediatrician Dr. Michelle Nace said it's still worth getting them vaccinated to reduce the likelihood of severe symptoms.
We want you to know that they're safe and they are effective. They are safe. Some people are concerned regarding how that might affect them. And we want you to know it doesn't change a person's DNA. It doesn't impact fertility. It has not been shown to have long-term impacts from the vaccination. And we know that there's secondary effects from getting COVID-19.
The two Alaskans under 19 who have died of COVID-19 were both infants. There have also been more hospitalizations among kids younger than 10 than older kids. The risk for myocarditis, a type of heart inflammation, is higher from a COVID-19 infection than a vaccination. Health officials also emphasized how thorough the research was on pediatric vaccines before they were authorized. Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz said there were no cases of myocarditis, no allergic reactions, and no deaths during trials for the vaccines. Plus, she said the doses given to older groups have provided scientists with additional data.
The pediatric population is a protected population. So if you're wondering why this is coming so late in the game, we really take this population so seriously. So all the adults, all the older children, those trials happen first. We have the benefit of millions of doses to look at in terms of safety and efficacy before they started trials in this younger age group.
Pfizer has a 2-dose pediatric vaccine, and Moderna has a 3-dose vaccine. Spacing between the doses varies depending on the brand. Rabinowitz said not all pediatricians and clinics will have both brands in stock, so parents should opt for whichever one is available from their provider. She said parents should talk to their pediatricians about any questions or concerns. More than 7,500 ballots were rejected in the special primary election to fill the remainder of late Congressman Don Young's term, according to the final tally. That's a statewide rejection rate of about 4.5%, double the rejection rate from the 2020 primary. The final ballot rejection rate in rural Alaska communities was even higher, with about 1 in 8 ballots not being counted. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports on why ballots got rejected.
According to a report from the Division of Elections, the biggest reason for rejections in the state's first mail-in election was that the ballot didn't have a witness signature. That's the reason more than a third of rejected ballots did not get counted. State Division of Elections spokeswoman Tiffany Montemayor says while officials are concerned anytime they have to reject a ballot, they're bound by state law. In an email, Montemayor said, quote, "If there is not a voter signature, a voter identifier, a witness signature, and a postmark on or before Election Day, the ballot cannot count," unquote. Generally, rural Alaska communities off the road system that tend to be majority Alaska Native had the highest ballot rejection rates at around 13%. More than half of those rejections were because of a lack of witness signature. Within rural Alaska, the region covering Bethel and surrounding Yukon-Kuskokwim villages had the highest rejection rate in the state at around 17%, or 1 in 6 ballots. Almost two-thirds of rejections were due to a lack of witness signature. Bethel Mayor Mark Springer says he believes there wasn't enough outreach to residents in those communities, many of whom don't speak English as a first language.
You know, I mean, they ran a lot of ads, but the majority of the ones I heard were in English. They just said the special election is on such and such a date. Not heavy emphasis on, look, it, you got to do this right. Only vote for one and make sure you get a witness signature.
Montemayor said the Division of Elections spent more money on educational outreach in English and Alaska Native languages than any prior Alaska election. She said the division also did a live UPIC interview on Bethel Public Radio Station KYUK that emphasized ballot requirements, and it had a collaboration with UIT Communications to ensure the information given to Native corporations was accurate and the same as information given out in English. Montemayor said, quote, for the first time in history, voters in communities designated as requiring language assistance were directly mail translated information about the election and instructions on how to vote a by-mail ballot, unquote. The witness signature requirement on mail-in ballots has been a point of contention in Alaska, with opponents of the requirement calling it a bureaucratic roadblock. Montemayor says eliminating the witness signature would take legislative action, adding, quote, it is also true that witness signatures may be any mark, and the division does not match witness or voter signatures against signatures it has on file, end quote. While the state doesn't have another mail-in election scheduled for the near future, Bethel Mayor Springer said the state has a lot of work to do before it conducts another one.
It's absolutely imperative that the Division of Elections, the Lieutenant Governor, learn some powerful lessons from the outcome of this, do some deep diving, do some root cause analysis, and make damn sure that the next time we have a mail-in ballot, we have nowhere near as many rejected ballots.
The remaining three elections this year, the general election to fill the rest of Young's term and the regular primary and general elections, will be conducted through traditional means as opposed to by mail. Alaskans who vote absentee will still be required to get a witness signature. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Former President Donald Trump is coming to Alaska to campaign for three Republican candidates running for statewide office. The visit was announced in a statement today from Save America, a political action group founded by Trump after his loss in the 2020 election. The group says Trump will hold a rally on Saturday, July 9th, at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage. He'll be speaking in support of Governor Mike Dunleavy, who's running for re-election, as well as U.S. House candidate Sarah Palin and U.S. Senate candidate Kelly Chewbacca. Dunleavy faces several opponents in his bid for re-election, including Democrat Les Guerra and independent former governor Bill Walker. Two other prominent Republicans running against Dunleavy are Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce and Wasilla State Representative Christopher Kirka. Palin is running against Republican Nick Begich and Democrat Mary Peltola in the special election to fill the remainder of late Congressman Don Young's term. Palin was an early supporter of Trump's during his bid for the White House and has continued to support him. Meanwhile, Chewbacca is challenging incumbent Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski as well as Democrat Pat Chesbrough. Murkowski earned Trump's ire when she voted to impeach him for his role in the Capitol attack on January 6, 2021. Tickets to the rally are free. Trump is set to deliver his remarks at 4 p.m. A new regional center established by the Department of Defense in Anchorage will focus on Arctic security and connecting military and civilian stakeholders in the region. The Ted Stevens Center for Arctic Security Studies will operate at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. It's the sixth regional center established by the DOD. The others are in Germany, Hawaii, and Washington, D.C. Senior Advisor for Arctic Security Affairs, Major General Randy Church Key, said Tuesday on Talk of Alaska that other cities were considered for the new center, but Anchorage was ultimately chosen because of its location near the Arctic and other assets.
Anchorage actually is kind of a mini Washington, D.C. as far as the number of federal agencies are here. You also have a number of consulates here that represent nations who have Arctic interests. And then, of course, you have also the fact you have an Arctic indigenous community, lots of headquarters here. For example, Alaska Native corporations who have opportunity for you to connect not only with the Arctic indigenous communities, but also Alaska Native communities for the industry part of the equation.
The Stevens Center, named for late Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, will operate out of an existing building on J-Bear using a hub and network approach, hosting symposiums and engaging with stakeholders in and outside of Alaska, including other Arctic nations. Key says research and analysis will help the Defense Department plan for future needs in the Arctic and will also help inform policy decisions. Craig Fleener is the deputy advisor for the Stevens Center. He says security studies extend beyond national defense. They plan to work with researchers, indigenous communities, environmental agencies, and the energy industry.
We'll travel to communities across the Arctic and invite people from communities to come here to participate. We know that this is a high priority area for the people of the Arctic, and so engagement and outreach is of significant importance to us.
Fleener says they hope to be a one-stop shop for research and collaboration in the Arctic. One of their mission areas includes addressing the impacts of climate change in the region. And finally, a quick correction to a story we aired in this newscast yesterday about a plane crash at Lake Iliamna. The crash happened on Saturday evening, not Sunday. in the last few seconds here. Let's take a look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area. Current conditions, 71 degrees, a few clouds at Juneau International Airport. Rest of today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.